Welcome to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. Guns and how to reduce gun violence is one of the most polarizing issues in America. There often is little room for agreement between those who want more restrictive gun laws and gun owners who believe their Second Amendment rights could be taken away. In the meantime, thousands die each year from crimes committed with firearms, suicides, or accidental shootings. Pennsylvania Auditor General Eugene DePasquale is weighing in with recommendations to reduce gun crimes and suicides, and he joins us today. General DePasquale, welcome to the program.
Scott, thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure.
If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. You can leave a question or a comment on WITF's Facebook page. On Twitter, we are at SmartTalkWITF. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. General, what were you looking to do by creating this report?
Well, the number one thing was to try to do what I could to try to save lives. I mean, after so many of these mass shootings, just myself, I just said, you know, look, this is one of those issues where I know it's tough, but when I leave office and my time in public life is done, do I want to say I didn't do something to try to move the ball forward to protect lives? Now, I also know that this is a very controversial issue politically, and there is obviously strong views on both sides, so I also tried to put together a report that could actually get something done in what is clearly a stalemate on this issue across the board.
Before we get into some of the recommendations and who you talk to, as the Auditor General, you investigate and report on how the state is performing or spending taxpayer money. What role do you as the Auditor General have in making recommendations about firearms?
Yeah, we specifically looked at what the state could do better under existing law. So I get to look at state spending and also existing law. So that's where, you know, I took my authority from. Also, there is a huge cost to taxpayers on this because when there are shootings, and again, we'll talk a little bit more about this, I'm sure, in a few minutes. When there are shootings and about two-thirds of the people that are killed through firearm violence in Pennsylvania are through suicides. Many of them are uninsured, so the Medicaid part of the state budget sometimes covers the hospital costs when they go to the emergency room with these gunshot wounds. About 70% of the people that go to the hospital because of a gunshot wound are not insured, and many times Medicaid which means state tax dollars are picking up the cost for that hospital care.
So you're saying taxpayers definitely have a role in this?
There is zero question taxpayers have a role in this. Mm-hmm. You also talk about the police showing up at a crime scene. Many times you have your fire and emergency crews showing up as well. So there is zero doubt Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars are at stake on almost every shooting.
As you said, and as I mentioned in the introduction, that this is a polarizing issue. It is difficult to get, I hate to say the two sides, but sometimes they are far apart, and right. There doesn't seem to be any gray area or area where there can be compromise. So who did you talk to come up with your recommendations for this report?
Well, we did reach out to a broad spectrum, and pretty much everyone responded. I mean, we did get hunting and some gun advocacy groups. Now, in full disclosure, the NRA never responded to our request to sit down and meet, never received an answer why, but they were really the only ones that did not. So we did get hunting and other gun right groups that did. We met with state police, local police chiefs, local police departments, even members of some of the police unions across the board. We met with gun control and gun safety advocates. So we did our best to try to reach out across a broad spectrum.
Was there anything that struck you that when you talked to these people from this wide spectrum of people that kind of stuck out to you that, okay, maybe they can agree on this? I mean, was there anything that really stuck out to you?
It did seem, I don't want to put any particular group because I think this was a pretty much a consensus, that there was a lot of frustration that even though they felt that if you put down, and I think our report does some of this, a huge amount of issues, that there wasn't, there were some key points of agreement. Let's put it that way. Now, there was obviously huge divides on some major issues, and I don't want to sugarcoat that. But there were some key points of agreement that that there was frustration from, and it's unfair to say both sides, but I think just for sake of conversation, we'll say both sides, although there are degrees on which.
Right, and that's what I was struggling with, too.
But there were some key points of agreement, but that they never could get to that because of the broader divide.
Mm. What would it take to cross that broader divide?
You know, I don't have the answer to that, but I tried to focus on, and the initial reaction that I've received, and again, maybe I'm being naive about this, is that what we put forward is at least something that can help bridge that divide in some degree, which is these are items that can already happen without adding new laws. Focusing on mental health, safety and how you maintain your gun, training, voluntarily training gun store owners on how to look for mental health issues, having a better mental health outreach in our rural communities. You know, some of these items that we put in that report, better tracing of weapons that are used in a crime, better tracing of bullets that are used in crime. And these are tools that already exist. You don't need a vote in the legislature to happen. And it doesn't mean that someone that says we should, you know, ban assault rifles is wrong. I mean, that's, you know, obviously I've run for office. I've taken that position myself. I also know there are not the votes in the Pennsylvania legislature to do that. I know there are not the votes in the United States Congress or certainly the Senate to do that. So I'm trying to focus on what can get done to save lives while we're having this political stalemate.
There would be those who will look at this, and you have 12 recommendations, and you can find those on our website, WITF.org, the recommendations made by Auditor General D. Pasquale. There are those who would look at these recommendations and say they're not groundbreaking, that a lot of them have been proposed before, as you say, expanding mental health, trying to get rid of the stigma attached to mental health, tracing the ammunition that is used in the commission of a crime, state police reporting monthly or quarterly, that these are common sense things. Okay, I know those two words are used often when you talk about guns, but that there's nothing groundbreaking here that would make a big difference.
Well, first of all, if you save one life, to me, that's a big difference. I have not, and look, I've been on your show many a times. I mean, I am not Zeus here. I'm not here to tell you that just with my report, all of a sudden, firearm violence or gun violence, whatever your phrase you want to use, is going to go away. That I've always said, you try to make things better, you're never going to make it perfect. And I think if all 12 of my recommendations were implemented, there would be less firearm deaths in Pennsylvania. Would it be zero? Absolutely not.
Mm. Why not go a little bit further? I mean, for example, when this conversation, you have this conversation, you have people who say, universal background checks for the sale of any firearm, no matter whether it's a private sale or not, or a law that would require gun owners to report a lost or stolen gun. Why not go to that degree?
So there's two parts to this. One is my own personal views, and we can go into that in a second. But I tried to focus the report on what could be done without adding new laws.
Mm.
That was where my focus was on this, so that I stayed within what I thought would be clearly where my authority was as Auditor General, but also trying to get something done without, because I just know how the votes are going to go in the legislature. So when you talk about lost and stolen, I was, as some of your listeners may remember, it was now getting a little bit more in the year ago, but I was a former member of the Pennsylvania legislature. While there, I was one of the 80 or 81 votes that supported lost and stolen legislation. Just hear me out, I'm not meaning you're trying to cut me off, but as I want the listeners to know, there was 203 legislators, about 81 votes for that. I'm not sure the numbers are any better today for that, which the point is, like, we're at least 20 to 23 votes short of getting the votes, and that's when the Democrats were in the majority.
We have a caller who addresses the legislature. Ted is in York. Ted, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, thanks for taking my call. It's
yes,
kind of disappointing that your guest is abandoning the representative government that we're so proud of. And when you peel away the onion to get to the fundamental root cause of the problem, and I respect his attempts to try to fix some things, but when you peel away the onion to get to the root cause of the problem, you find that it's our government that is controlled by the special interests, and the focus has changed from actually solving problems to consolidating power and getting reelected. And the special interests control our state government and our federal government. So until you change the motivation for getting elected, until you change the focus to actually solving problems from just consolidating power, keeping power, and then getting reelected, you're not going to fix this problem.
Hey, thank you for your call. And General, and you can address that, but we have another phone call, and I think these two are connected, so I'll just bring it up. That special interest that he was referring to, our other caller mentions the NRA, the National Rifle Association, as having great influence with the Pennsylvania legislature. So how do you respond to what he says?
Well, yeah, I don't think my report was trying to get rid of representative government. I don't think that was the point of the report. I think it was about trying to find a way to save some lives. But the overall point of special interest having a huge impact on not just Pennsylvania government, but our national government as well, is obviously correct. Look, the NRA has huge influence. But having said that, look, people run for office. Usually, I've yet to find too many people that run for office that don't believe passionately what they stand for. I do think that on the issue of guns, and this is, again, just an observation, not 100% correct probably, but it's my observation, is that the people that vote for the Second Amendment or for less gun control are more likely to be single issue on that voter than the people that support more gun control measures. I mean, if you look at public polling, a lot of the assault weapon ban is usually in the 60 or 70 percentile, yet that usually is not a winning cause for those issues. I do think this past November, though, was the first time where I felt the people that supported more gun control or, you know, safer firearm issues, they were winning the issue more this time. So maybe the tide has turned on that politically. Time will tell, obviously, on that.
Did you, when you were running for the legislature, was this an issue that voters would ask you about?
Absolutely. Now, look, I think it was more on health care, et cetera. But look, when I was in the legislature, more so than Auditor General, look, I knocked on 8,000 doors each of my election. I'd hear, you know, everything from, you know, you can imagine the broad spectrum. But people did bring up guns at the door, absolutely.
Mm. I've got a couple emails here. Pamela says, please ask the Auditor General if requiring all firearms to be insured from the manufacturer to the final owner would help keep guns out of the hands of the irresponsible. Model this program like auto insurance. Responsible owners would have low rates. Collectors of antiques would have special insurance like collector cars. High-powered firearms would have special insurance like a high-powered car. Is that something that was discussed with the people that you spoke with?
That is an idea we discussed because we felt it would need a new law. That's why it wasn't in the report. But I do think something like that, I think, was it email or call? I forget.
That was an email, yeah.
Email, yeah. I think that email is accurate. And that is, if something like that was instituted in Pennsylvania or even across the country, I think it would be a huge positive because, like the emailer said, if, you know, just like someone who drives and doesn't have a lot of accidents gets a more favorable rate than someone that has a lot of accidents, and for someone that is shady or an illegal dealer, they're not going to be able to get the insurance, which means that they're going to be operating outside the law every time.
You have said that you do not think that this, because it enacts no laws, would infringe on anyone's right to have a firearm. And we know that is one of the big debates, is that those who own firearms feel that any new laws would infringe on their rights. Why do you say that this wouldn't infringe on anyone's rights?
Yeah, anyone, if you take even all of our recommendations in a whole, the only time someone would have a firearm removed from them under our report is if A was commissioned in a crime or their ammunition was commissioned in a crime, that would lead to it, or it would prevent the sale of someone who has mental health issues and should not own the firearm. And again, we took that, so I guess you could say technically we'd be not allowing a person with mental health issues to buy the firearm. But here's where we came to on that conclusion. That was, everyone across the board has said, whether publicly, whether they mean it or not, but I'm taking people at their word, that people with mental health issues that are a danger to society should not have these weapons.
Let's talk about that, because as you said, what you wanted to do was make these recommendations that would not create new laws. But when you're talking about expanding mental health programs, you're talking about more money. Right. Whether it is related to firearms, guns, or not, I think almost everyone is in agreement that this state, this country, has to do more when it comes to mental health. How do you get people in the legislature, at a time when every dollar is tight, to expand mental health programs? And then the other part of that, one of your recommendations was to try to take away the stigma regarding mental health. That's more of an educational effort, but how do you get the legislature to spend more money on mental health?
That's why we put in our report pretty prominently that over the last 10 years, the cost of firearm violence in Pennsylvania to the taxpayers has been $1.5 billion. That's dealing with public safety costs, costs of uncompensated care in the hospitals, etc. So I believe that if you spend some money on more mental health services, particularly focusing in on rural Pennsylvania and the education part and the stigma, you would not only save lives, but you would also dramatically reduce that burden to the taxpayer when these deaths happen.
General DePasquale, we're almost out of time for this portion of the program. So what do you want to see with these recommendations? I mean, there are, you know, especially when we were talking about expansion of mental health care, that there would be some actions that would needed by the legislature. One thing that you do advocate is for the governor to sign an executive order ordering state police to make monthly and quarterly reports. But what do you want to see happen with these recommendations, and what can you do to make them happen?
I want to see the whole report followed through on, the entire report, not one or two pieces, the whole report. And I'm going to be traveling around the state. We're going to be meeting with various hospitals. We certainly did meet with the governor's team. I am open to meeting with all four of the legislative caucuses on this. I know some legislators on both sides of the aisle have reached out initially. And so my job now is to try to keep the pressure on. Sounds a little bit more aggressive than I mean it to be, but my job is to try to keep this dialogue going, because at least the feedback I've gotten, assuming people are telling me the truth, that they believe that this is some items that can actually happen. So I'm going to continue to push the report in total to try to see if we can move this ball forward and save some lives out there.
Pennsylvania's Auditor General Eugene DePasquale. General DePasquale, thank you very much for being with us today.
And my pleasure, Scott. Have a great day.
You too. You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. Coming up on tomorrow's Smart Talk, new research on asthma, and Representative Brian Cutler of Lancaster County, the new House Majority Leader, will be with us tomorrow to talk about being the Majority Leader and what to look forward to in the upcoming legislative session that will begin after the first of the year. Hunting is a Pennsylvania tradition. The state has more licensed hunters than almost any state in the country. That long tradition is often not quick to or open to major changes. But the world in Pennsylvania has changed. For example, hunting on Sundays is prohibited in Pennsylvania, with the exception of hunting for crows, coyotes, and foxes, three species that don't bring out many hunters. There's a move afoot to allow hunting on Sundays, and as is the case with many issues surrounding hunting, there are passionate people on both sides of the issue. Joining us today, we have a full house, Republican State Senator Dan Laughlin of Erie County. Senator Laughlin, welcome to the program. And is he there? There you go.
Yes.
Senator.
Yes. Thanks for having me on today. I appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us. Brian Burhans is the Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Game Commission. Director Burhans, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Also joining us is Mark O'Neill, Director of Strategic Communications with the Pennsylvania Farm Bureau. Mark O'Neill, glad to see you.
Glad to be here, Scott.
And Joe Neville is Executive Director of the Keystone Trails Association. Mr. Neville, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Scott.
If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. On Twitter, we are at smarttalkwitf. Again, the phone number, 1-800-729-7532. Brian Berhans, I want to start with you. Let's get a little bit of history here. Why is hunting prohibited on Sundays in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, it's basically within statutes, within the legislature that does the laws for the state of Pennsylvania, that we are limited in what we can offer as opportunities for Sunday hunting. So we actually, obviously have to stay within those confines of what we can and can't do. And it's really been a challenge for the agency. The agency and our commissioners have come out in support of Sunday hunting. Sunday hunting, we're one of the last states to allow Sunday hunting. I run into individuals all the time, just talked to an individual the other day who had purchased property in Pennsylvania and asked me, hey, I bought this land to hunt. I only have the weekends. Why can't I hunt on the land I own and pay taxes on? It's a great question. You know, as you mentioned earlier, hunting is a huge tradition in Pennsylvania, and it's not going away. But we are losing hunters nationally. We're seeing a decline in hunters. And one of the biggest reasons through extensive surveys that the agency's done shows that it's lack of opportunity, lack of time is why people stop hunting. We got to do what we can do to stop that bleeding, because hunters are important to Pennsylvania, not only from an economic standpoint, but also in managing wildlife populations. We use hunting and trapping as the primary method for managing wildlife populations in the state of Pennsylvania and any state in the United States.
I want to talk about all those issues, but I want to go back to my original question, though. Why originally was hunting on Sunday prohibited?
Well, there were probably many reasons. I won't go into saying what the lawmakers at that time were thinking and what going through their head, but let's face it, Pennsylvania had a lot of those old blue laws on the books.
Right.
We still can't, I think, sell automobiles. It used to be you couldn't fish on Sunday. I actually saw my first no fishing on Sunday sign up the other day, so that's kind of new. But that used to be you couldn't do that activity on Sundays either as far as fishing. And the rest of the world has caught on that, hey, we can't afford to do this anymore. And, we're hoping that Pennsylvania, we're moving in that direction. The support for Sunday hunting is definitely there. It's important for conservation. Getting those licensed hunters, that's where the primary means for revenue for the agency to do all conservation, whether it's for bald eagles and ospreys or white-tailed deer and black bears. It's that conservation funding which is important.
Senator, as the director mentioned, this is something that would have to take place in the legislature, a change that would have to go through the legislature, not the Game Commission. You have proposed legislation that would allow hunting on Sundays. Why?
Well, actually, Brian covered a lot of my talking points. That's the problem with going second here.
Senator's probably not used to going second, are you?
Well, no, that's not true. But
yeah.
For most of the reasons that Brian just mentioned, on my own personal level, my brother and I have a camp and we have adult children, and just last year, five of them would have purchased hunting licenses had they been able to hunt the weekend after Thanksgiving. But unfortunately, Sunday afternoon and or Monday, they all had to leave to go back to college and where they live now. So I know, just on a personal level, the amount of license sales that are being lost because of these lost opportunities. The fact that we can't hunt both days of the weekend, let me back up here just for a second. If you would have told me when I was a young man that in Pennsylvania you would be able to go to a casino, smoke medical marijuana, but not go hunting, that would not be a bet that I would have taken 20 years ago. So this state has come a long way in other areas, but Sunday hunting seems to be one of the sticking points in this legislature. And the Farm Bureau, I know they're on the line, has been one of the main drivers behind that. But what's interesting is even amongst their own membership now, there is a growing push for Sunday hunting. The writing's on the wall. It's just a matter of time, and I am hoping to be able to get this done in the next legislative session.
All right, let's turn to the Pennsylvania Farm Bureau. Mark O'Neill is Director of Strategic Communications with the Farm Bureau. Mark, I can imagine that there are some farmers out there that do support this because they are hunters. But overall, your organization, the Farm Bureau, opposes hunting on Sunday. Why?
That's correct, and there's a variety of reasons. And I think a lot of people have talked about this issue, and they've pitted it as hunters versus farmers, when actually a lot of hunters also oppose expansion of Sunday hunting.
There are
typically
those,
when there's been polls, it's been 50-50 or leaning a little bit towards those who want to expand. One of the main reasons is that farmers typically work every day of the week, especially if they have animals. So they're working 7 days a week. One of the things that they don't want to do is what they try to do is have Sunday pull back a little bit, spend time with family, and they don't want to have people driving up the lane at 6:30 in the morning who are asking for permission to hunt on Sunday. They don't want to hear gunshots ringing around their property then. They want to use their own property for their own use. And again, they want to have some peace and quiet. I mentioned that it's not just hunters versus farmers, because a lot of hunters, but there are plenty of other people who also oppose Sunday hunting. And whether that's hikers, bicyclists, orienteers, outdoors people, people who like foliage to look at on Sunday, typically they look at it as Saturday we set aside for the hunters, Sunday is our day. So it's not just farmers, it's many other people who oppose expansion of Sunday hunting.
Well, let's bring in another group that does oppose, and that is Joe Neville's, who's executive director of the Keystone Trails Association. Mr. Neville, why oppose?
I think our hunters have a point in that they want to hunt on Sundays and time. Hikers also want some time where hunting is not going on around them. They want a time when they can go out, enjoy the peace and quiet, not have gunshots going off around them, not seeing hunters. A lot of them are not comfortable with people with guns being around them. You have to understand that a lot of Pennsylvanians, even though we are a very rural state, did not grow up around family or friends that had guns and hunted. So when they're out there walking down a trail and see someone coming at them with perhaps an AK-47 or whatever firearm.
I don't think that would happen, no.
It can.
An AK-47, who hunts with an AK-47?
Well, whether they do or don't, they can.
What appears to be an automatic rifle.
Correct. Yeah. Or just any gun. They're okay. Just not comfortable with that. And they don't want to see it out there on their trails that they maintain. So I think it's their time to be out, to feel safe. Whether there is a safety issue or not, they feel that they're much safer. They also enjoy the quietness of being out in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other things that we hear about, too, is where do hunters drag their deer out? Well, they drag them out a lot of times in the woods down a trail. So people who, again, are not comfortable with that, they see blood, they see hair. It makes them uncomfortable.
But that's going to happen anyway, no matter what day of the week.
Correct, but it's not fresh. They're not coming upon it right there.
Mm-hmm. What were we going to say?
I think it's really important that we look at the facts. I understand the arguments to some who have concerns about Sunday hunting. There are a segment of hunters out there that don't want Sunday hunting. But if the law was if the regulation was changed to expand Sunday hunting opportunities, they're not forced to hunt on Sunday. The private landowner who doesn't want people to hunt on their lands can still post against Sunday hunting, just as they did for fish. So I think it's really important. There's a lot of private landowners out there that do buy their property for the purpose of hunting. I want to go back to another reality, and that's the fact that hunting is extremely safe. You are at far more risk of getting in an accident driving to a trailhead than you are hunting.
Okay, that's statistically, but the point that Joe Neville brings up, I mean,
it's the perception.
The perception. You see people, and you know, let's face it, a high-powered rifle, a shot from a high-powered rifle can go a mile, 2 miles, when you're walking in the woods.
But we're talking about, that's talking about rifle deer season, which is just a couple weeks out of the entire year. You're talking about rifle deer season. The rest of the time you're talking about archers or small game, you would have shotgunners out, whatnot. So we're really focused on a concern about really only 2 weeks of the season when it comes to rifles being in the woods.
Let me bring up another issue, and Senator, you can weigh in on this as well. I don't know whether it's coupled with this proposal or not, but there has been some talk about the opening of the antler deer season, moving it to Saturday. I don't know where the Game Commission falls in on that.
I would like to weigh in on that.
Okay, go ahead, Senator.
I believe firmly
that the Saturday and Sunday after Thanksgiving should be the first 2 days of rifle deer season. I think that would make a huge change in this state, and I think that would help a lot. But I'd also like to go back to Mr. Neville's comments for a second. You know, there are a lot of private landowners that would like to use their own land on Sunday the way they see fit. So there's that point. Secondly, all of the game lands were purchased with hunting license dollars, not with hiker dollars. So, you know, if you're hiking on the game lands on Sunday, we don't have an issue with that, but just be mindful of who purchased the land. And, you know, as far as state forest goes, I've been an avid hunter my whole life, and I hunt state forests and different things. I've never seen anyone hiking during rifle season. I've never seen it.
Maybe there's a reason for that.
It doesn't happen occasionally, but those are the facts.
I was going to say, but maybe there's a reason for that, because hikers don't go into the woods during hunting season.
I don't believe that's the reason.
Hey, let me take some phone calls here. I know we're going to have a lot of, we're not going to have enough time, put it that way. But let me go to Chuck in Harrisburg. Chuck, I understand you're in the car. Chuck, are you there?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I actually had a similar thought to the senator, that if there were selected days in the year, weekends, that were open to hunting, and not every Sunday, but for example, the Saturday and Sunday after Thanksgiving, that would satisfy a lot of the interest in having the added hunting licenses, sales, and allowing access. But otherwise, I think it's not a good idea. I'm a hunter and a dog owner, and I don't go into the woods during archery season with my dog because I don't want to disturb the hunters out of respect for their time in the woods. And I would prefer to have a Sunday available for days without hunters in the woods in general.
All right. Thank you very much for your call.
Scott, let me jump in on when you're talking about the other opportunities. Pennsylvania Farm Bureau has long had policy where we support allowing the hunting season to start, the deer rifled hunting season, the Friday and Saturday after Thanksgiving. And to the best of my knowledge, the Game Commission does not need any legislative approval to do that. They can do that, you know, it'd probably take them two meetings to get it done. You know, because there is a lot of conversation around this Sunday hunting thing is, well, what a lot of hunters want is extra days of deer hunting. That's what they want. A lot of them talk about that's what this boils down to. Well, if that's the case, we have said, well, why not the Friday and Saturday after Thanksgiving? We also support having an extra week of doe or buck season in that same time frame with rifled hunting, as long as it's not on Sunday. So there are extra opportunities when kids are out of school, when kids are home for the holidays, where there's an opportunity to hunt. It's just not on Sunday, it's the Friday and Saturday, and an extra week on top of that. You know, remember, a lot of this property that is being used for hunting, about 80%, is farmland and other private land. And, majority of that is with farmers. So if you want permission to come on the land, you know, that's something that you're supposed to do, is get permission to come on the land. And that's something that sometimes doesn't happen as well. We think there's a lot of good hunters out there, and a lot of them who disagree with our point of view. And that's okay, too, because, we understand that no one's ever going to agree with us on everything. But there are other opportunities to hunt other than Sunday.
What was just suggested by the caller, is there room for compromise here?
Well, I think, look at the Game Commission policy or process and how we do about defining our regulations. We have a very open, transparent process where people can make public comment at multiple meetings. They can submit written comments. We have a whole process in place to evaluate how Sunday hunting might look on the landscape. Right now, we don't even have that opportunity to engage our hunters and other citizens, the hikers, the Farm Bureau, the farmers, into that conversation, because obviously we don't have
the legislature.
But we have an entire process that's geared towards engaging all citizens of Pennsylvania in that discussion, so we can make the best determination of what Sunday might look like. When you look at Sunday hunting, I'm a hiker as well. I backpack all the time during the October season. Is my favorite time. I run into other hikers all the time. None of them have ever worried about expressed any concern about backpacking or hiking during the hunting season. You know, I have a dog. I'm a dog owner. I hunt with a dog as well. You know, just no issues. And I think one of the challenges is, and I've worked in other states and seen this Sunday hunting go from being prohibited to then finally being okay to go move forward. And the same arguments are always put in place that it won't work because of XYZ. Then Sunday hunting is changed, it's allowed, and all those issues go away.
Okay, Joe, I'm going to get you in here just a second, but I want to go back to Mark for just a second. It is true that there are other states. What have farmers in other states experienced? What have they said?
Well, here's what we've heard is that when you go back and look, part of this reason is they want more licenses, more hunters, and more youth hunters. And that has not happened. Basically, there's been more hunters, the same hunters actually are now hunting on Sunday, so they're hunting on Saturday and Sunday. So you're making it more available for existing hunters to hunt, but you're not capturing new hunters, you're not selling a lot of new licenses, so you're not bringing in that extra
revenue. But
that
really doesn't have anything to do with farmers, though. My question was, what have farmers experienced?
In terms of?
You know, your arguments against this is farmers want that extra day. They work 7 days a week. Have farmers in these other states where Sunday hunting is legal, what have they said about the experiences they've had? Has it stopped them from working on Sundays?
The only feedback, and we haven't had much, it would be like West Virginia, Kentucky. I think there were a couple other states that also made minor changes, like some allowed it more hunting with bow and arrows, basically.
Right.
You know, and some had limited counties where they allowed extra rifled hunting, so it wasn't statewide. And the feedback has pretty much been, well, we don't want them on our property, and you know, we haven't heard of any accidents or things like that, if that's what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, it's been limited, and I think that you know, a lot of the farmers look at it and say, well, what did you gain out of it? You've got basically what you have is you have more hunters coming out in a very small area. So it is more opportunities for existing hunters.
Joe, and then I'm going to take some phone calls.
Sure. We would oppose the idea of the Game Commission having the authority to set regulation for Sunday hunting for this reason. The senator is accountable to his constituents and the people of Pennsylvania through an electoral process. Brian is not accountable to the same public. He's not elected, and he reports to a board of commissioners who are A, appointed, not elected, and B, are 100% hunters. So they're not representative of the people of Pennsylvania.
You're shaking your head, Brian. I'll get to you to respond to that in just a moment. You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Talk. We're talking during this portion of the program about Sunday hunting in Pennsylvania. It is now prohibited, except for just a few species, but this would be an expansion of hunting in Pennsylvania, antler deer and you know, small game hunting, turkey, pheasant, rabbit, that kind of thing. But, you know, It's obviously an issue that there's a lot of passion on both sides about. Our guest today, Republican State Senator Dan Laughlin of Erie County, has introduced legislation that would allow hunting on Sunday in Pennsylvania. Brian Burhans, Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Game Commission. Mark O'Neill, Director of Strategic Communications with the Pennsylvania Farm Bureau. And Joe Neville, Executive Director of the Keystone Trails Association. We're getting a lot of phone calls and emails, and I'll try to get to as many as I can. I'll be honest with you, I think that we're going to have to continue this conversation at a future date because there's just so much to cover. 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. On Twitter, we are at smarttalkwitf. Again, the phone number, 1-800-729-7532. Let's go to the phone now. Harold Dobb is with an organization, Hunters for Sunday Hunting. He's a leader of a grassroots movement. Mr. Dobb, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me, Scott. I appreciate you taking my call.
Yes.
Just a couple of comments. I'll start with the Keystone Trails Association. I find it very interesting that Mr. Neville doesn't want to support the expansion of Sunday hunting and the removal of this prohibition, but yet his organization schedules organized hikes every day of the week, not just Sundays. And he does it not only on state parks that allow hunting or don't allow hunting, but it's also being done on state game lands. So I believe that that organization is impeaching themselves with what they actually schedule versus what he's on this program saying. And the Farm Bureau, I would like to tell them that they need to go back and look at the vote that they just took at their annual meeting. I think the support for Sunday hunting, removing the prohibition, is overwhelming. Public polls that have been taken recently are showing 80% approval to lift the prohibition. So I'm sorry, Scott, but the guest panelists that you have on here, they're not telling you the truth.
Well, what poll are you citing?
Well, Senator Laughlin put a poll up back in the spring, 77,000 respondents. Just about 70% responded that they support lifting the prohibition. WGAL recently did a poll that had 80-some percent in support of lifting the prohibition. So these statistics that are being quoted of 50% or just barely approval, that's not true. Those are old statistics back when the Farm Bureau and the legislatures could hide behind the Game Commission and blame the Game Commission for not allowing us to hunt on Sundays. Since we've ripped that mask off, the general public has come out in great support, overwhelming support, to have the Game Commission given regulatory authority to expand Sunday hunting in Pennsylvania. Not one state that has gone to Sunday hunting has ever taken a step to roll it back. So these farmers that say they're not going to like it, that's not happening.
Hey, Mr. Dopp, thank you very much for your call. Since he addressed both Farm Bureau and Trails Association, Mark, what about that? What do you have to say?
Well, I respect that people have opposing points of view than we do. We have always said that not every single member of Farm Bureau is opposed to expanding Sunday hunting.
You agree
but
that 80%
the vast majority,
poll?
Well, that obviously wasn't Farm Bureau members, and I have no idea where that poll came from. But if you ask the general public about this issue, I think you'd get opinions from hunters, from landowners, from people who are interested in outdoors, and I think there'd be a big part of this population of Pennsylvania that has no opinion on it, that is not familiar with it. You get it in Center City, Philadelphia, and ask them about Sunday hunting. There's a massive population in Pennsylvania that this issue is not even on their radar. But if you talk to some of them in the suburbs and other areas, they say, well, you know, I hike, I bike, I do these things. Maybe I should think about this issue. But, you know, Pennsylvania Farm Bureau, one of the things we did at our aid, there were two issues that came up, and one was reaffirming our strong opposition to Sunday hunting. There was a second policy that was approved, which I'll call like a contingency policy, which our farmers have passed in other years on other issues too. And basically, it sets up a situation where if lawmakers dramatically change their mind on this issue completely, that farmers would then have, Farm Bureau and its farmers would then have a policy that they would talk to about. They would still oppose Sunday hunting, but if a piece of legislation came out that was pinpointed exactly everything that was laid out in that, Farm Bureau could be neutral. But it wasn't set up so that a lawmaker like Senator Laughlin could put out and make this thing and say, oh, well, we'll go after this. It was more a contingency thing. We've done that with other issues like the severance tax and stuff like that.
Joe, the point that he made, Mr. Dobb made about your members are out there 7 days a week.
Mr. Dobb is correct. We do have a program that goes onto the game lands on a Saturday. And what he failed to tell you was that it's in the middle of the elk range right outside of Benazet. And when we're there on Saturday, we're there with about 10,000 other people. It's like a Penn State football game if you've ever been to the elk viewing area. There is no hunting right there at that time, trust me, because there are so many people, it's sometimes difficult to see the elk. Now, can people legally hunt there? Sure. But would they? I strongly doubt it on that day because of the crowds.
What were we going to say, Brian?
But the reality of it is, because I'm out on the hiking trails myself, especially in October, people are hiking out there. They're enjoying the great outdoors. There's not a conflict between hunting and with hiking or any other outdoor activity. It's just manufactured. In fact, you asked earlier what the farmers have found in other states where they've expanded sunny hunting opportunities. I know as I talk to my colleagues in other state wildlife agencies, they tell me, I can't believe you don't have Sunday hunting. They're just amazed that we don't have, because they don't have issues. Yeah, it was Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania doesn't change. We'll put it that way.
And you look at what impact it could have on our non-resident sales, because I know I used to live out of state. I'm from Pennsylvania, but when I would not come hunt very much as an out-of-state person because I could only hunt Saturday.
But we also have a farming tradition and a hiking tradition.
And so do others.
Senator, well, Scott, you also have the blue laws, which have been talked about. You know, and Farm Bureau and farmers aren't supporting it because it's a blue law. There is another blue law that was referenced in the state, and that was about not selling automobiles on Sunday. You know why we don't sell automobiles on Sunday? Because the automobile owners don't want to sell automobiles on Sunday. They're family operations. They want to be with their families. They don't want to sell on Sunday. Farmers are family operations. Mm-hmm. Their farm is their property. It's where they live. That's why they don't want it.
Senator, I heard you wanted to weigh in.
Yeah, there's a couple of things. You know, the poll that I did back, I think it was in February, that was a poll on Facebook. It wasn't specific to any particular demographic. And I had 1.5 million people view that poll, and 77,000 voted in it. And it was overwhelmingly positive, and there were people that commented that don't even hunt that were supportive of it just because of just your personal freedoms. You know, I respect the farmers. We have a symbiotic relationship with them, the hunters and farmers. They're stewards of the land, and you know, we're not trying to poke them in the chest and say this is how it's going to be. But there's a lot of private landowners, and there's the people that have purchased the game lands with their hunting dollars that want the right to hunt on Sunday. And, you know, and it's not like the automobile dealership, because I've talked to those guys as well to see if they'd be on board with supporting this. And Mark is correct. They don't want to have to work on Sunday. But this isn't mandating anyone hunt on Sunday. This is an option for people.
Go ahead.
You know, Mr. Neville's concerns about safety and different things. You know, rifle deer season is only a couple of weeks long. You know, no one's being shot by archers, and quite frankly, no one's being shot by small game hunters either. And the number of hunting accidents, even in rifle deer season, are just extremely low. So I think the safety concerns are overstated, and you know, like I said before, I'm out in the woods a lot. I'm an avid hunter. I rarely see anyone, so I don't think that anyone's rights are being infringed here. You know, the farmers, if they don't want you to hunt on Sunday, they can post their land, no Sunday hunting or no hunting at all. That's up to them. That's their land, and that's the point. This is about personal freedom and personal choices, and hunters are the only group in this state that aren't allowed to do something on Sunday that they want to do, and that needs to change.
We only have about a minute or so left, and there's so many other things. I apologize to the callers, we're on hold. I'll vow right now that we will address this issue again in a future program, maybe sometime in January, once most of the hunting seasons are over, or I should say at least the antler deer season is over, but we'll approach this again. But something, just a couple of we've gotten a lot of emails. Gary, a farmer and a hunter, says hunting season's already long enough. He's constantly chasing people off his farms. He needs a day of rest on Sundays. Someone says if hunting on Sunday, would it be reasonable to have two other days off, Monday or Tuesday perhaps? A lot of different suggestions being made here, both pro and con. One thing I'd like to bring up, and Mark, I only have about a minute or so left, and both of you could weigh in on this in that minute. The deer population, one of the more controversial changes in Pennsylvania in the past 20 years was the deer management program. And one of the reasons that one of the things that happened with the overpopulation deer is that a lot of farmers' crops were being damaged. A lot of the woodlands, forest land in Pennsylvania, were being damaged as well by this overpopulation of deer. So wildlife management is one of the part of the mission of the Game Commission. I mean, isn't that something that farmers should take into consideration, that they do need, the wildlife needs to be controlled, and one of the few ways to do it, if not the only way, is through hunting?
That's absolutely true, but it doesn't necessarily have to be done on Sunday. And I think that, you know, like I said, we've talked about different areas where we'd like to see expanded hunting. This year, there's a lot of farmers in this area, or a lot of hunters in this area, who couldn't hunt doe the first week of the season because it was buck only. Let's make it buck and doe right from the start, both weeks. Hunters get out there.
That happened for how many years?
Several.
Right.
Yeah. Well, 10, so.
Well, you know, hunters get out there and they see, you know, 18, 20 doe go by. They can't shoot them. They got to wait for a buck.
Hey, we're out of time for this portion of the program. Senator, real quick, and I do mean real quick, what do you think will happen with this in the legislature?
Well, I think there's room for compromise, and I believe that I have enough votes to get this moving.
Thank you very much, Senator Dan Laughlin, Erie County, Mark O'Neill, Pennsylvania Farm Bureau, Brian Burhans, Pennsylvania Game Commission, Joe Neville, Keystone Trails Association. We'll visit this again.